All right, well, Roy talked about Shepherd's Hearts. I know I'm grateful for our entire elder team who's been serving along with me and helping me learn the ropes here at Vernon Alliance. And just know that aside from those of us who get paid to be pastors and shepherds, there are people who serve voluntarily and are praying and serving on your behalf behind the scenes all the time. Like Roy said, it has been quite a ride. And I got to admit that as I look ahead to fall in terms of church life, it does seem to be shaping up a little bit differently than I imagined that it would 6 months ago or even 6 weeks ago. I thought that we would kind of be free and clear of this thing, and alas, there are several of us in the church family who are ill with COVID right now, and the word is that everyone is doing all right and seems to be on the way to recovery, nothing serious, so please pray for those people. Next weekend, I know it's the long weekend, so depending on what your long weekend plans are, whether it's the last time to get in the lake or go camping, but I want to take some time to consider together how we keep hanging on to Jesus and to one another in what I think are some pretty challenging, perplexing, and at times divisive times. So I want to invite you to consider that. It seems that fall could be another fall yet, of one with some pretty substantial social challenges. And As I talk to some of you and have gotten to know you over the past half a year, one theme I've often heard is, man, it sure is hard to connect. It's hard to find people to do life with, to stay connected with this broader community that I know is my own, but it just doesn't feel like it. And that's true. And a lot of the conventional ways that we have used to stay connected with each other, they have been handicapped. And they might continue to be for a little while. It doesn't need to be, though, that we forge on alone or in a disconnected way. And there are certainly some things that are already in place. Our home groups are looking to get reestablished here this fall. You might want to connect with one of those. You might want to establish a new one. There might be some different ways that we need to make those happen. Or we may even need to band together in groups of three or four people that could meet at your house, at a coffee shop, at the park, at Silver Star, or heaven forbid, we meet more online. But at least it's better than forging on by ourselves. So I just want to encourage you, and this is going to be probably me banging the same drum for a number of weeks as we go into fall. What does it look like to connect with God's people in meaningful ways this fall? And if the old ways that you've been used to aren't working, then what are some new ways that you might want to establish? And we can help you, but we'll need your collaboration and discipline in order to make that happen. And so let's be thinking together intentionally in the coming weeks what that looks like. And maybe you want to make that a top of conversation in your own prayer life. With that in mind, the plan for today is to wind up our summer series in the book of Proverbs. And what we're going to do is study one more particular proverb. Probably some of you have heard it before. And it's a famous one about parenting. And you can find it in Proverbs 22:6. If you want to look it up in your Bible, you can do that. The King James way, probably the way that for some reason, even though I never did read the King James on my own, I learned it this way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I want to use the New Living Translation today to guide our study of what Solomon is talking about. And it says, it puts it this way, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, I just want to say off the hopper is the challenge with this proverb is how some people interpret it. The idea is you teach your child to love God to know who Jesus is and follow him, and to do what's right. And then, if you've done your job properly, then they will toe the line for the rest of their lives. And if they don't live an exemplary life, if they decide that they don't want to follow after Jesus, then it's your fault as the parent. You've botched it, and you bear responsibility. And if you think that some people don't think that, well, I just did a casual search of the internet, and I came up with that interpretation right away. This comes from faithsaves.net. It sounds like a website that Jesus would frequent if he was here. You know, what would Jesus do? He would go onto faithsaves.net. And let me just read to you their take on Proverbs 22:6, so that you can kind of get where some people take this. Proverbs 22:6, Faith Save says, other New Old Testament passages and the New Testament harmoniously teach that parents who raise their children properly can be certain to have a godly family. Christian parents should rejoice at the divine guarantee that they can have saved and holy children, act in faith on such promises, and plead them before God in prayer. They should reject the false doctrine that it is possible for parents to do all that they ought to and have their children reject Christ and live for the devil. They should also be sober-minded and zealously, passionately determined that they will live lives of faith, love, and holiness before God themselves, since while their children are certainly moral agents who are personally accountable if they reject Christ, parents with ungodly children do bear the responsibility in every case of having failed their children. Boo! Simple takeaway, aside from what we'll get later today, don't buy everything you read or watch on the internet, even if they quote the Bible. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's see if we can practice that, because it's hard. There's lots of things on the internet these days, everybody claiming that they are the truth and that they know who the heretics are. But I get why Faith Saves and others may take it this way. It does seem, when you read Proverbs 22:6, at least at first, that this is a guarantee. Is that what Solomon is teaching? Well, let's find out, and I want to break the proverb into three sections, just according to what it says. Direct your children, number one. Number two, onto the right path. What's that? And then this third part, what does Solomon mean? When they are older, they will not leave the path. So first, direct your children. What is he talking about? Well, a more literal translation of direct would be dedicate or consecrate. The same word is used in a few other places in the Old Testament to refer to the dedication of a place, specifically a building. So the church building that we are in, when in its different iterations, although I haven't been able to find the plaque, I would suspect at the official dedication ceremonies, it was set apart on a specific trajectory to be used for a particular purpose. It was, I would guess, if I know kind of the official words that pastors and district leaders use, they would say this is dedicated to God's glory in the city of Vernon. So when you think about directing or training up your son or your daughter, there are religious overtones to what this passage is speaking about. Not just training in general, but the proverb is calling you to orient your daughter, direct your son, set them apart for God. And it's not just about giving them good training in math and science and language and sport and home ec and whatever other recreational opportunities you want to have for them. This isn't merely about education. Dedicating your kids is focused on an intentional, sustained, God-directed, God-dependent activity. So that's the first part. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, family, however we are involved in the raising up of the next generation, devote your kids and yourself, for that matter, to what? Well, then onto the second part, to getting them on the right path. There is some artistic language that's being used here, and like with any kind of use of language, there's nuance to words. So I want to suggest that onto the right path has a major nuance, but it also has some minor nuance. Let's consider the major way first. The way, or the right path that our kids ought to go, is the way that it ought to be. That is, every young person's future, whether they are 1 or 11 or 21, their future is filled with possibility. And we, as parents, recognize that possibility and direct our kids on the path towards Jesus and on the path towards good and godly life. And this verse is calling us to set our kids on the right trajectory, one that will lead them in the end and in the present toward God. Now let's pause here for a second, because I think that the common understanding for Canadians today is when we think about trajectory, we think of a million different options. There are all kinds of paths that someone might choose. I'm not necessarily talking about like the job that you would choose, but in terms of the values, the direction, the morality by which we and our kids live our lives. And more Canadians seem to be saying, look, in terms of the values of your life, what's important, where you want to live, any trajectory, any philosophy of life, any moral code, any priorities, aside from the obviously bad ones, like don't be a Nazi, don't be a racist, but in general, pick one, because anyone is good as long as you follow it with all of your heart. Listen to your inner voice, your inner guide, do what seems best to you. Be consistent, of course, but follow your instincts and your life will be just fine. I was reading an interview a couple years ago from a couple in Toronto, Kathy Witterick and David Stalker, and they were interviewed about their parenting style of their little boy, and they made a conscious decision not to give him too much guidance on who he was or how he should live, and here's the reason for that philosophy. They said, what we noticed is that parents make so many choices for their children, it's obnoxious. And I suspect Solomon, if he heard that, would choke a little bit because of his and of Scripture's overarching philosophy about the choices we naturally make as people. We were here last week, but let's go there again, Proverbs 14:12. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Or how about Isaiah 53:6, which we quote all the time? All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Generations of human beings before us, the inspired words of Scripture caution us from being overly optimistic about just letting the next generation follow their hearts wherever they might lead. So with a healthy pessimism, God calls us to dedicate our kids to the right trajectory, the right path. In fact, if you read Proverbs as a collection, you will see that that is actually the point of all of these little sayings. The whole book is actually dedicated at helping younger people, the next generation, get on and stay on the right path. put in the way we speak about it here in the 2020s. Proverbs wants to keep your kids from self-harm. Check out the opening of Psalm 2. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. And then it goes on in verse 6. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Then men turn from the right way to walk down, or these men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. The overtone is, listen, listen to me, my son, and you'll do well. Life will go better for you. Ignore me and just do whatever your instincts say that you should do, and you will likely only hurt yourself and those around you. So back to the point, to what are we dedicating our kids? Well, we are dedicating them to the way they should go. As parents, we consistently, habitually, intentionally help our children embrace wisdom, to walk in the fear of the Lord. And he, if they will listen to him, will guide them towards a life of joy, wisdom, knowledge, godliness, and in the broadest sense of the word, safety. That's what I think the major nuance of the right path or the way is. What about the minor nuance? Well, I think it has something to do with about a problem that particular religious parents have. If we aren't careful, religious parents, Christian parents, can easily become dictators. We're so passionate about helping our kids get on and stay on the right path that we pound our kids into submission. And in the worst cases, we do that quite literally. And I would think if we would take a poll of even those who are gathered here and online, we would hear stories of parents who were well-meaning in their intent to help us get on the right path, but they caused incredible damage because of the severity and lack of freedom in which they did that. Let me just say, moms and dads, there is no excuse for using God or the intention you have to keep your kids on the straight and narrow as some kind of justification for physical or verbal abuse. And if you are a parent who just, for whatever reason, because it's the pattern that you experienced growing up, because you've fallen into some of your own challenges, because you are angry on the inside, and you don't know what to do, I just would invite you to reach out for help, whether that's to us as a church, to trusted friends or leaders around you, to professionals who would love to help you. There's no reason to continue down that path yourself. And I would say, if you're listening this morning and you are one who is being abused, I want you to know that it is okay. It is good, although I can imagine incredibly difficult. In the end, it would be good to tell someone what you are experiencing at home, because just because God and his Bible are being quoted doesn't necessarily mean that the environment is one in which he would be pleased. And I think the minor nuance of the way they should go can keep us from these kind of extremes. Another way you could translate this little phrase is dedicate your child according to their way. And what that means is, although everyone needs correction, not everyone needs correction the same way. Each person is unique, we're individuals, and that uniqueness, that distinctiveness is to be respected by parents. We discover each and every child's way and then direct them towards the path accordingly. Maybe some other Proverbs can help us. Proverbs 30, watch for how the word the way is used in this little bit of poetry. This is Proverbs 30, verses 18 and 19. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a young woman. Well, what are the ways of the eagle, the snake, the ship, and a young man in love? And by the way, just gotta let you know that I had on Thursday night my first Okanagan rattlesnake encounter at Cal Park. I am finally initiated into true snakeness. I can now say that I've seen one and I've heard the rattle and I have lived to tell the tale. What are the ways of those things? Well, one's way is, to quote somebody else, is their characteristic manner. The unique way that a snake or an eagle in the sky or a vehicle on the seas or a person, the unique way that they navigate life. So the minor nuance of this phrase connects with that major nuance. It's our calling as parents to direct and guide and discipline our kids, but as we do, we pay attention to their unique way, their characteristic manner. And the way we guide and teach and correct and motivate is different depending on the kid, right? This isn't rocket science. So whether you have an athlete, the intellect, the free spirit, the introvert, the son with a very sensitive conscience, a daughter who does not seem to have a conscience at all, we become students of our own kids and channel their energy and passions and weaknesses. We direct them in a way that suits them. Okay, there's more to say, but let's move on to the final part of the proverb. Direct your children the right way or onto the right path, and then this, and when they are older, they will not leave it. In the simplest terms possible, what the proverb is teaching us is that under normal circumstances, when a parent or a parent figure directs a child onto the right path, dedicating themselves to their upbringing, taking into consideration their way, the direction instilled will have lasting impact. Generally speaking, our kids will internalize that direction. They will internalize our values, they will internalize our priorities, and that will become a part of their life. Always, in every case? Well, no. And there are three reasons why maybe not. Number one, and of course, this is going to shock the pants off you. You're going to call Stuart to come back and be the pastor after you hear me say this. There are no perfect human moms and dads. None of us do this perfectly. And I would have to say, the more I reflect on my own parenting over the last 17 years, the more I am aware of my imperfection. So if my kids are looking for inconsistency in my teaching, hypocrisy in my way of life, if your kids are looking for the times that you have not practiced what you preached, if they want to look for times that you were not there for them when you should have been, my kids, your children, will find evidence every time. There are no perfect parents. Well, actually, I lied. There is one perfect parent, and he too has children who went off the rails. The only perfect father has kids who decide to head a different way. And of course, I'm talking about God here, right? Hosea 11. God talking, first person. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the further he moved from me. So the only perfect father who has ever existed, one who knows how to perfectly balance discipline and grace, who is the very definition of perfection, holiness, consistency, he himself has generations of kids depart from the path. How is that possible? Well, for reason number three, whatever guidance and dedication and prayer you might give, children get to choose their own path. Even if you are the most skillful teacher and disciplinarian, you can't force anyone down any path. You can only encourage someone to seek it. Back to point two, this is what God our Father experiences from us, right? From you, from me. People who stray off the path, sometimes forever. Sometimes we go off only to come back later, and some of us are going on and off the path all the time. Proverbs itself, and remember the book of the Bible we are pulling this little nugget from, Proverbs takes the personal choice of kids seriously. Remember what we established a couple minutes ago. This collection of wisdom is actually directed mostly at emerging generations. The whole book keeps tapping kids on the shoulder, calling them, warning them, begging them sometimes to listen to the guidance of older people who seem out of touch. 1 verse 8, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. 2 verse 1, my child, listen to what I say. Treasure my commands. The reason the word listen keeps getting repeated is because kids can choose not to listen. And lots don't. Proverbs 13:1, a wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker refuses to listen to a correction. 15 verse 20, sensible children bring joy to their father. Foolish children despise their mother. Kids get to choose their own path, for better or worse. And so while you can direct and train and guide, they get to decide. Your daughter gets to decide where she walks. And she herself bears the responsibility for that choice. So that's why it's not a perfect guarantee. A couple thoughts as we close. For those of you who are A-types, there's a spelling mistake. Take your call. Please add an R. I really distracted some people last night. They forgot the whole sermon, and they just knew I missed an R. So, moms and dads, take your call to guide your kids seriously. Because if you aren't guiding and discipling your family, somebody else is. Don't abdicate your responsibility. It is your job to form the values, principles, and spiritual beliefs of your children. Because the world is not neutral. When your kids watch TV, go to school, go to work, get on the internet, listen to music, when they talk to people, they are being shaped in those environments. They are being encouraged to take various pathways. Everyone has a pathway that they are pushing. Do you know how much companies spent in 2019 on advertising globally? $560 billion. Do you think that was a public service? Businesses just trying to help out? Or are these companies pushing their values, good, bad, or otherwise, on people who are watching and listening and reading and participating? And remember, the spiritual overtones of that word, dedicate. Like I said, I know many of you as parents are doing great jobs at shaping your kids athletically, academically, recreationally, emotionally. Excellent. That is part of your job. And we have phenomenal opportunities for development of our kids in Canada today. But how can we do that and yet neglect the spiritual, moral direction of our children? How can we neglect to share with enthusiasm the story of a God who has made us in his image, loves us despite the fact that we go off the path often, and he loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us? And if the next generation isn't encouraged by us to get to know Jesus, if they aren't apprenticed in how to follow after him, then we are missing the central component of what it means to be a Christian parent, even if they get PhDs, play on university teams in the sports, and are the most emotionally well-tuned people on the planet. A word about the church. We can help. And the current team I've got with me, Chet, Diane, and Matthew, are all about helping parents embrace their Proverbs 22:6 calling. But they need your collaboration. I saw this study like 15 years ago, surveyed like 10,000 junior high students, asking them who are the biggest spiritual influences in their life. And like number 7 was pastor. You can know who was 1 and 2 was mom, then dad, grandparents, other people around. So don't underestimate the influence that you are having spiritually on your kids, even if their chats with you would indicate that they could care less about what you think. And back to the theme of the day, pandemic. It means right now that maybe some of the tools we've used in the past do not work as well as they used to. But that doesn't mean that you need to postpone spiritual investment in your kids. We are incredibly intuitive. That wasn't the word I was looking at. We're very creative in the ways that we make sure, if we want our kids to play hockey, that there's ways for them to get hockey development in the pandemic. If they want to dance, we find ways that they can dance. If they want to learn how to read, we figure out how to make that work in the pandemic. Can we not be creative in thinking about ways they can connect with Jesus, even in the midst of a pandemic? I know we're smart enough. It just takes a little initiative and thought and experimentation. How are you investing in your kids this way this fall? And I say it like I'm speaking to myself. I'm in the pew with you. Take your calling seriously. Secondly, you can't lead your kids down a path you haven't traveled yourself. If you want your kids to love Jesus and to know him and to adopt and live out Jesus' values in their life, so what's going on with you? How are you doing that right now? How are you traveling the path right now? And it may require some honest reflection from you, like, okay, how am I walking this same path that I'm calling them? What does it actually look like for me right now? And finally, maybe best of all, remember God's knack for grace even when your parenting of your children goes off course. this proverb does hold true. Directing our kids will make a difference in their lives, even if it's not a guarantee. Even if we can't see how it's all working out right away. Matthew Henry is a Bible commentator who wrote like 300 years ago, and you can read him for free on the internet because no one can like make money off his stuff anymore. So if you find Matthew Henry, go ahead and use him. Sometimes the English is a little archaic, but he's reflecting on Proverbs 22, and this is what he wrote. Many indeed have departed from the good way in which they were trained up. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, himself did so. Just read his story and see how far off the rails he went. But early training may be a means of our kids recovering themselves, as it is supposed Solomon did. So his theory being, hey, probably by the end of his life, even though his life took a massive detour, Solomon found his way back to God, we think, we don't know. And probably his upbringing from David and Bathsheba played a role in helping him find his way back. God doesn't write off kids or families very easily. If you think about it, have you ever had a close look at Jesus' own family tree? He had some doozies for grandmas and grandpas. Prostitutes. Guys who paid for prostitutes. Murderers. Cheaters. Liars. Adulterers. Dads who couldn't parent their way out of a paper bag. But out of that family, with all its dysfunction and failure to guide oncoming generations, God chose to raise up his own son. And so, if he can do something with that family, then he can certainly do something good in yours. Would you stand for prayer? Father, I just want to pray on behalf of those gathered with me in this room and online who are playing a parenting role of some sort, certainly moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, great-grandparents, maybe even some great-great-grandparents here who are still involved in the raising up of other generations. We need your help on this one. There are some incredibly smart, talented, and educated people that make up this family. Some of them, like, developing projects, thinking about science, leading institutions or companies of hundreds of people. And yet, probably most of us would say, like, what's going on in our families is really complex and we don't know what to do or how to do it. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, you would help us as parents to follow the advice given to us in this psalm. Pray, first of all, that we would be parents who are walking the paths ourselves. And wherever we find ourselves today, I pray that we would know where you're calling us to walk in the coming days as we head into fall 2021. And I pray that you would help us dedicate our own kids to that own path, being conscious of their own way, being students of our kids, aware of their tremendous gifting, their passions, their personality, and also the liabilities which each of them carry. And I pray that you would help them get on the path, and that we would know where our direction and our discipline and our dedication starts and where it stops and where we actually need to leave it with you. I would also suspect there are quite a few parents here listening to me right now that wonder if their kids are ever going to come back on the path, because it doesn't really seem that they're there right now. Father, these are your kids too. Like, it's not like we have to introduce our children to you. You are very well acquainted with their way. And so those who are longing for kids, for their children to come back onto the path, to know and love and follow Jesus with all of their heart, we pray for a movement of your Spirit in our time. For those that know and love you to return to you and find that you indeed are good, that you are faithful, and that life is better when we follow Jesus. Help us as a church community to support one another in these days. Jesus, thank you for your patience with us. Father, thank you for sticking with us despite our regular habit of going off the path. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.